So as we begin this sermon series on faith at the movies, it's been kind of fun for me to pull it together because I looked at several different lists of the best family movies of all time. And so I was able to pick one from many different generations, different genres. And so today we begin our encounter with faith through the movies using The Lion King. And I know that you know that ultimately the sermons are not about the movies, but they're about how they help us understand Scripture, how they help us understand ourselves better through the lens of Hollywood. So the Lion King movie was the highest grossing movie of 1994, earning almost $1 billion. It won 2 Academy Awards for Elton John and Tim Rice, who wrote the music. It was also the last of the hand-drawn movies by Disney, and so you'll note that in the beauty of the artwork. It's on the list of the best movies of all time, of all types, and many people say it's really the best that Disney did. Not just for the beautiful artwork, but also for the significant issues that are raised within this movie. And so as we begin to encounter Scripture in light of this, we're going to look at the 138th Psalm. It is a psalm of praise to God, but it also has the arc that the movie does too. It praises God as king, because even as we celebrate Lion King, we know that God is king. And you'll notice a narrative arc in which somebody is praising God the king and yet moves away and yet is pulled back to God by God's good love and grace. So Jack, would you come forward and share with us the scripture?
As she said, this scripture is from the Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. Your strength, you stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, and your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So the Lion King movie tells the tale of Simba, a young lion cub. The word Simba means lion in Swahili. He is the child of Mufasa, the king of the jungle. And so I want to begin by showing you one of the opening scenes from this movie where the young baby Simba is dedicated. You'll also be introduced to the character Rafiki. He is the baboon who's kind of a wise sage in the jungle. You'll see him later in a clip, so I just want you to pay attention to getting introduced to him also. So here's the dedication of Simba. Baby Simba, child of the king, is dedicated and every beast in the forest bows down in obeisance to him. Now, what I want you to hear, if you hear nothing else this morning, is that each one of you is a child of the king. And never forget that. Now, it may have been that when you were baptized either here or somewhere else, that it was a more formal service and there was some ritual back and forth, but there were proud parents. But I want you to know that even if all of the animals around didn't bow when you were baptized, I want you to keep that image because you are a child of the king. And when you were born, you may have cried, but the heavens sang and rejoiced. You are created to be God's beloved creation, and God's fingerprints are all over each one of you. Psalm 139 tells us, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Each one of you, fearfully, wonderfully made. And just as the baby king was rejoiced as he was dedicated, so heaven rejoices in each one of you too. I mean, you think that when you see parents with a newborn baby, you think that you see a couple who is besotted with their newborn baby will take that love and multiply it by infinity, and you will get a partial glimpse of how God loves you too, and how deeply, deeply you were made to be loved, and you live in that love. That also means that we come with purpose, too. Martin Luther said that baptism is something that happens in the church one day and takes the rest of our lives to complete. And we were made not only to be beloved, but we were made to live out the purpose that God has given us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." We were created not just to be beloved, but to do good works. But something happens between those moments of love and dedication and creation and then the real world. For Simba, what happened was that being a child of the king, well, it went to his head. So he's brushing up on looking down. And so for him, he's looking forward to being king so that he can do his own thing. And what happens is we who are children of the king, we lose sight of our purpose. We lose sight of what God has for us. And instead, we find ourselves going to other places. It's part of our story throughout Scripture, too. Adam and Eve were made to live in God's beloved paradise. And the one thing for which we were not created was the one thing that we wanted. And we went after that, and we've been doing it ever since. You see it throughout Scripture in so many different times and people. Samson, David, Solomon, Ananias, and Sapphira. We could keep going on and on. You see, we confuse healthy self-esteem with thinking too highly of ourselves. Romans 12:3 reminds us, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." We take our status as beloved children of the King, and something else happens entirely to us. That there's a word for that. It's called sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we forget who we are, when we forget the high purpose to which we are called, then we fall into sin. So there's something that I've been reading in the paper this week, which involves sports. And as you know, that is something y'all should pray for me as I try to talk about this. But you may have been reading that Mizzou is on all sorts of probation with the NCAA because 12 students had a tutor who took courses for them. And so Mizzou has been sanctioned heavily, but I know they say there's another school with 1,200 students that wasn't sanctioned. I'm not getting into that. But what I know isn't NCAA, and I don't know SEC, but what I know is this. That there are 12 individuals, or 1,200 individuals, that knew that they got credit for a class that they didn't take. And they knew that. And that's what's been stuck in my head. I think about that, especially this Super Bowl day. Imagine, if you will, that there was a 5-year-old football player, and he's at his first game in Pop Warner League, And he plays the game, and afterwards this man comes up to him and says, "Son, I'd like to talk to you and your parents." And they get together, and the man says, "I am a scout, and I have a particular talent, a knack, for knowing who at age 5 can grow up to become a successful professional football player. And son, I want to tell you that I can tell that if you are willing to do whatever it takes, that I can get you to the Super Bowl." And the parents are excited, and they say, oh, that's fabulous. We will do whatever it takes. We will get him up at 5 o'clock every morning for practice. We will keep him practicing till midnight. We'll do 3 or 4 a day practices. We will buy him the finest protein shakes. We'll make sure he eats a side of beef every month. We'll get him everything he needs. We'll do whatever it takes for him to become a pro football player and go to the Super Bowl. And then just imagine if that scout says, well, don't worry about that stuff. We'll take care of it. What I need you, Mom and Dad, to do is to teach your boy to cheat in school so that he can get to the Super Bowl. What would you do if you were that mom and dad? Do the parents in the room let me urge you to say no to that deal? but that's what I see has happened, that these young men were taught that whatever it takes involved cheating. And I don't want to just pick on athletes today, because I want to tell you that if what you have looks like success, no matter what field it is, and if it took lying, cheating, stealing, or violating any of the other commandments to get there, then what you have is not success. But the word for what you have, well, it's sin. You see, we are called to this high calling as children of the King to live our very best lives and to live in the ethics that we have been created to live and to make our decisions that would honor and glorify the King whose child that we are. Now, if you're hearing these words, it's making you feel a little uncomfortable. That's okay. You're not out of place, because remember, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so you're in good and ample company here. But it's something that we've all got to pay attention to. Now, for Simba, our lion cub, what it looked like for him was that there was an Uncle Scar who wanted to be king, but Simba and Mufasa were in the way. And so the evil uncle planned a way to kill both Mufasa and his son Simba. Mufasa managed to save his son at the cost of his own life. Scar told Simba that his father's death was Simba's fault. And so Simba ran off. And ran away from his destiny, ran away from who he was called to be. He met up with a warthog and a meerkat and learned to sing Hakuna Matata, which are power praise kids. And boy, y'all did a great job. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Y'all both fabulous. Hakuna Matata became their song. And so he was living away from what he was called to do and be. But while he was gone, his homeland, the Pride Rock, fell into terrible state. The evil Scar did take things over. And so in the scene you're about to see, we're going to see again Rafiki the baboon as he comes back and he's trying to convince Simba, who does not want to go back, to come back and become who he was called to be. Remember who you are. Rafiki did not bring Simba any superpowers that would help him meet the challenges that waited for him back home. Rafiki did not wave a magic wand and change the circumstances. All that Rafiki did was allow Simba to remember who he was, a child of the King. You see, no matter how far away you may have gotten today, all you have to do is remember that you are a child of God, that you are so beloved, that it was worth it for Jesus Christ to live and die and rise again for you, and that each one of us, no matter how far we have gone from where we were made to be, we are welcomed back home to remember. In a few moments, we'll be sharing in communion. And one of the most important things we do as we share in this meal each week is we remember. We remember that on the night Jesus gave himself up for us. He said these words. He gave us this meal before he gave himself up for us. We say that because there is power in remembering. Remember who you are this day. Remember whose you are. And remember that there is nowhere you can ever go that you will not be welcomed back home again. Will you pray with me? Oh God, I pray for the gift of memory for each one of us, that we may remember the joy of the heavens upon our creation, that we will remember our role as your beloved children, and God, that we will use that memory to see a future of faith, hope, and love as we serve the world in your name. Amen. As we prepare for this meal, it is my joy, as always, to remind you that this table does not belong to me or to this church, but this table belongs to Jesus Christ. And so you don't have to be a member of this church or any church. You simply have to bring yourself to this table, and Christ will meet you in ways that you may not even know to expect. And so this is an open table. You're all invited to hear these words as we remember together what Christ has done for us. Christ, who did love us enough to give himself up for us. On the night that he gave himself, he took the bread, just the bread that had been the bread of the meal, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to all of them gathered there, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the meal was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he gave it to those gathered there. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so because we remember all these mighty acts of God, we come to this table. Will you pray with me? Oh God, so fill these gifts of bread and cup with your Spirit, that as we share in them this morning, we truly are sharing in your body and your blood, that we may be for the world your body, redeemed by your blood. So renew us, restore us, make us whole, make us one within you and one with each other as we serve in your name. Make us a people who truly remember who we are, whose we are, and who we were created to be. Use this meal, O God, to give us a renewed sense of the power of those memories. Amen.